Chapter 34. Coming Home to Roost. Now, October. Monday afternoon, and I feel ready. We spent the rest of the weekend working out the details, the role each of us is to play, coming up with a plan to stop Karma and Michelle and maybe turn the tables on them. We went over it and over it, questioning, testing, until it was as airtight as it could be. Sunday night, Julia and I worked in the office, putting together the binder of evidence we'd need to execute Phase 1. Then I emailed Karma and told her that Athena's evidence would be filed shortly, and I expected a hearing at the end of the week to admit it. She responded immediately, pleased, and asked for an in-person meeting with her and Michelle on Tuesday. I agreed. Then I called Mark Fiore and told him I thought there might be an opportunity to settle with Sullivan. He expressed disbelief but said I should go ahead. I asked him not to brief the board until we'd reached a deal. I was worried that Sullivan might get wind of it, I told him, because he still had allies in the company. Mark said he'd wait for my call and that I had the authority I needed. Then I called John Taylor, Sullivan's counsel, a guy who I knew from previous files always worked on Sundays. I told him to bring Sullivan in for a settlement meeting, that he'd regret it if he didn't, that I was about to file explosive new evidence. He agreed to get Sullivan there. So here I am, walking into a conference room, trying to muster the self-confidence to pull this off. Julia follows me in. The binders she prepared are on the conference table in front of Sullivan, who's arrogant and well-pressed in a $5,000 suit. He's an attractive man in his mid-50s, full of the assurance that comes from having made it a long time ago. A billionaire, an inventor, a man with 10 million Twitter followers. He's never married, tends to date models and singers on their way up. He started his first company at 23 and has a flair for marketing. With a different set of choices, he might have been a politician. Instead, he chose to worship at the altar of money. Would he have become quite so corrupt without it? Did the money feed the rot, or was it always there, a malignant growth ready to spring into action when opportunity arose? Good morning, gentlemen. This is Julia Sanders, the associate working with me on the file. I shake John Taylor's hand. He's a mostly decent guy in his early 40s who's never mistaken me for my assistant or made an off-color joke in my presence. My record against him is 3-2. I move on to Sullivan. A head of thick dark hair shot with gray. Light blue eyes. The tan of the rich who don't have to suffer weather. His hand is cold, but not clammy. A firm shake, eye contact, then a dismissal. He's here, but he's not happy about it. I take a seat and Julia sits next to me. I open my binder. Mr. Sullivan, thank you for agreeing to come to this settlement discussion.
From what I understand, you didn't give my attorney much choice.
Well, thank you just the same. Sullivan examines his manicure.
Where's your client?
I have the authority I need, and I'm sure you'll appreciate fewer people knowing the details. Sullivan raises an eyebrow.
And what details are those?
If you open the binder in front of you, you'll find our motion to present additional evidence of prior bad acts and our motion for a sealing order. Behind that, you'll find an affidavit from Athena Williams, whom I believe you're acquainted with. Sullivan doesn't say anything, just narrows his eyes as if he is trying to think of a way to escape. But he can't invent something to get away from what he did. Or from me. I'll take that as a yes.
Just get on with it, John says.
All right. Athena alleges that you sexually assaulted her in a work setting.
I deny it.
I'm sure you do. But it's starting to be a pattern now, isn't it?
3 women?
And once someone like Athena Williams comes forward, well, the wheels are going to start to fall off your denial train.
We'll see.
No, I don't think we will.
How's that?
You're going to settle this case.
Why would I do that?
He's a cool customer, I have to give him that. Because you haven't thought this through. This testimony is going to come out, whether or not the judge grants my motion to admit it. Once I file the motion, the affidavit will be in the public domain. You're going to lose more than your court case.
Idle threats.
No, there's a plan to take away your company. Sullivan's mask falls. His eyes turn flinty.
What?
Consider it. When these allegations get out, the first thing that's going to happen is that Nexia is going to call a board meeting to discuss your future at the company.
How do you know that?
It stands to reason, but also, at least one member of your board has been waiting for this.
Who?
Doesn't matter. Trust me, a member of your board will insist on a meeting and will call for your resignation when these allegations come out.
They won't have the votes.
Won't they? You've been through this before, and this isn't 10 years ago, or even 5. Multiple accusations of sexual assault? That's not just boys being boys. And I checked. Nexia's board is 50% women. Very progressive of you. But it's going to be your downfall.
That's ridiculous. The company is mine.
I flip to another page in the binder. Well, that's not quite true, is it? Since Nexia went public, you own a plurality of the shares, but not an outright majority.
So?
Have you not noticed the increase in the stock short position? The increased trading volume over the last year? Someone is poised for a hostile takeover. They're waiting for you to be vulnerable. He goes perfectly still, taking in what I'm saying. For all his terrible flaws, he's a brilliant man. He processes data rapidly and sees connections.
Who is it?
You should be able to work that one out yourself. His eyes narrow and release.
Karma Rosen?
That's right. Good karma is going to buy you out.
It won't happen.
She has the resources. I've included the public records in the binder in front of you. She owns almost 5% of your company. When your stock price goes down after the allegations become public, she's going to scoop up another significant amount of stock at a bargain. She most certainly has proxies in a similar position. There's someone friendly to her on the board. And think of the optics. Bad man removed and replaced by do-good woman with feel-good products.
I'll fight it.
You'll lose. Sullivan thinks again about what I am saying, playing it out like a chess match in his mind, seeing 20 moves ahead, 40. He's been checked, and the checkmate is inevitable. Or maybe not quite.
She wants our tech?
I'm sure she does, but mostly she doesn't appreciate what you did to her, trying to take her company.
That was business.
And so is this.
It feels bigger than that.
Karma thinks big. He closes the binder.
How do you know so much?
That's a long story.
You're in on it with her.
I don't say anything. I let silence tell the lie I won't say out loud. Sullivan nods.
So if I settle the case, I get to keep my company?
No. He leans back in his chair.
No deal, then.
I don't think you're quite getting it. If you want to do something else with your life, you'll make this deal. Remember that the assaults are still within the statute of limitations for criminal prosecution.
This is blackmail.
Is it? I'm not asking for anything for myself.
But you are asking for something.
Naturally. I glance at the list I have in front of me, though I have it memorized. You're going to step down and appoint a successor.
Sullivan's voice is tight.
That's ridiculous. Everyone will know something is wrong if I do that.
Not if you say that you're dealing with a health issue.
I'm perfectly fine.
No one will know that, though. Pick something, a minor cancer, for instance, and say you need to step back for 6 months. Then, when you return healthy and glowing, you can talk about your shifting priorities and start something new. You can sell it. It's what you do. He plays with the binder's cover, flipping it open, then closed, while he considers what I'm saying.
Who is supposed to replace me?
Her name is Catherine Raleigh.
Who is she?
She's a VP of a large pharmaceutical company.
I mean, who is she to you?
Why does it matter? You're going to resign later today and advise the board to immediately appoint her as your successor. You'll use your influence to convince them she's the right woman for the job.
How do I know she's qualified?
Please, she can't be worse than you.
He shakes his head.
Is that all?
One last thing. You're going to give me the proxy for the stock you own in Good Karma. Sullivan had purchased 5% of Good Karma as part of his own takeover attempt, and he'd held on to the stock all these years.
You personally?
That's right.
I could just drop the case and walk away and not do any of this.
I smile. You're right. But the information will come out anyway. You'll still lose your company. This is happening regardless of the lawsuit.
This is bullshit.
My anger is bubbling beneath the surface, but I do my best to control it. No, it's retribution. Stop sexually assaulting women.
I never spare me.
He narrows his eyes. I can feel his malevolence like a force, but I'm not going to bend. He's spent too much time scaring women, and I'm not going to be one of them.
You're taking everything I have.
I'm keeping you out of jail, and you can go on your merry way with your reputation sort of intact, and your freedom and your money. You have a chance to start over with the billions of dollars you still have. Do something good in the world.
Is that what you're doing?
This isn't about me. He laughs bitterly.
No? Sure. Right. You say so.
I'm not here to argue with you. Do we have a deal or not? He looks at John, who's been impassive this whole time, reading the affidavit and other material in the binder. I've been in his position, unable to cover over that sick feeling every lawyer gets when presented with proof of their client's lying. I could feel sympathy for him, and I do, but in this exact moment, what I need is for him to back me up.
We could fight it, John says. Report her to the bar, hold a press conference, try to get out in front of it.
But the women could still come forward.
We can't stop them from speaking out if they want to. I did warn you about that when you took this case.
Sullivan takes a long moment to consider it.
All right, then. But I need assurances, too.
Such as?
That the women will sign a non-disclosure and an agreement not to prosecute.
Of course. He shakes his head, and I think he's going to bolt. But he has no real options. Whatever the pain of this, I'm still his best option.
We have a deal.
I put out my hand. As he reaches across the table to shake it, I try not to think about this deal with the devil I'm making and why. I try to take a karma attitude about it all. If it doesn't bother the man in the equation, then why is it bothering me? Chapter 35. The Calm Before the Storm. Now, October. I come home exhausted. Master Machiavellian plotter is not my métier, and the energy required to think of each step, see 3, 6, 10 moves ahead,
is significant.
It's cold out, getting dark earlier and earlier. Winter will be here before we know it. But what will my life look like in a new season? Where will we even be living?
Dan and I have returned to our apartment, mindful of the potential for microphones and cameras. I'm waiting in a mental crouch for the shit to hit the fan. For Karma and Michelle to find out that I've thwarted their plan for the lawsuit, even though I asked Mark to hold off telling the board until noon tomorrow. I have a meeting tomorrow morning with Karma and Michelle, and I'm hoping for the element of surprise to make it go smoothly. But the papers are signed and witnessed, including Sullivan's withdrawal of the lawsuit, which will be filed in the morning. There's nothing Karma and Michelle can do now to stop it. As to the rest, only tomorrow will tell. So Dan and I chat about benign things over takeout and have another conversation with our eyes. Then we crawl into bed and hide under the covers, staring at each other in the hazy darkness. "What are we going to do after this?" I say in the lowest whisper I can manage.
"What do you want to do?"
Dan whispers back. His features are unreadable in this light, but his arms are holding me close. "Remember during the lockdown? How bored we were?"
"I do remember. It seems so long ago now."
"Remember how we said when we could, we were going to go places and do things?"
"We did, didn't we?"
"We did. But then we didn't do that."
"We took that one trip to Maine."
I smile, remembering. It was a sun-kissed week in a beach house. We started drinking at noon and laid out on a float. We went paddleboarding and got food at the local farmer's market. I also did 3 hours of work every morning. "Weren't we going to go to Europe and Australia? Weren't we going to go somewhere where we couldn't be reached?" Dan rubs his nose against mine.
"You said those things, yes."
"And?"
"You didn't mean them, did you?"
"Why would you think that?"
"Experience."
He pulls me closer.
"Come on, Nick. You like to work. That's when you're happiest, when you have a purpose. You get restless on vacation, and it's okay, I get it. I always knew that about you."
"And it's one of my endearing qualities?"
"Well,
we should do that. We should go somewhere no one can find us." I snuggle closer to him. "I'm scared," I say so softly I'm not sure he can hear me.
"I know. Me too,"
he says into my ear. "What are we doing?"
"I thought you had a plan."
"I do, it's just, I forgot to ask. Did you find Jack?"
"Yeah."
"You talked to him?"
"I did,"
he says, and his words are a caress. It must be the relief of knowing that we were right, that Jack is not dead, and that I didn't help paper over a murder. "What did he say?"
"Well, he took a bit of convincing, since he's been paid rather well to shut up. But in the end, I persuaded him that he wanted to do the right thing. He signed an affidavit explaining everything."
"You didn't get in a fight, did you?"
His hand rubs my back. "No, no, don't worry. I used a page from your playbook and told him I'd go to the police."
"Why did he do it?"
"He was told it was all a training exercise for Athena, like an advanced personal safety scenario."
"He bought that?" I ask.
"He's an out-of-work actor, and they threw a lot of money at him. He made it make the sense he needed it to carry it out."
"Did he drug her?"
Dan nods against my forehead.
"He put a sedative in her drink."
"And provoked her?"
"Yes, all the ways she described. He took something, too, so that after the gun went off, he'd appear dead. And he had a rig that actors use on set to make it look like he'd been shot. It was some kind of animal blood."
I shivered. "He didn't think that was crazy?"
"He did, but they paid him $100,000.
Jesus.
Dan slipped his hand under my t-shirt, touching the soft skin at the base of my spine.
He was supposed to go out of town for several months, but he decided not to. Why?
He got an audition.
Oh my God. I laugh quietly. Actors. Who hired him?
Gary, by the sounds of it.
What a crazy risk they took.
Was it, though?
Dan kisses me, leaving his lips against mine.
It's what you said. They knew Athena wasn't going to go searching for answers. It probably didn't even matter if she believed it or not. In the end, they'd have all the leverage they needed over her either way.
I kiss him back, scooting closer so our bodies are in full contact. I guess you're right.
They just didn't count on you.
Huh. No.
That was their mistake.
I rest my head against his. Karma and Michelle are going to try to ruin us when I tell them what's happened.
Dan starts to make slow circles on my skin. That's why you have the good karma proxy, isn't it? And all the other evidence you've gathered of their plan. They'll fall in line like Sullivan did.
I hope so. Are you mad about Mark?
Dan pulls back. You said nothing happened.
Nothing did.
So no, I'm not mad.
I squeeze him tightly. And what about kids? You still want that?
I was never sure I did. I only wanted to have a conversation.
Okay.
But maybe not now, right?
His lips touch mine again as his fingers press more insistently. Not right now. We make love as quietly as we can, and afterwards we curl up together, and he falls easily to sleep. My rest is not so quick in coming as I go over the details again and again. Have I seen the board clearly enough, or is there some other plan afoot that I've missed? I decided to host the showdown with Karma and Michelle at my office. So, once again, I'm walking into our main boardroom with the amazing view and the wall of glass, thinking one thing's going to happen and getting another. And once again, it all starts with Thomas.
"What's this I hear, that you're thinking of leaving the firm?"
he asks before I've even taken a seat. Michelle and Karma are almost unrecognizable, sitting at the other end of the table in business suits, their hair professionally done, makeup on. I've seen Karma like this before, but seeing Michelle out of her Mother Earth attire is a first. My heart starts to thud. I've missed something. Something crucial.
What?
We apprised Thomas that you were going to be leaving the profession, Karma says, her voice even, almost flat.
Well, you're mistaken. I'm not going anywhere.
I sit down and place the binder I'm holding on the table.
Why would I?
Thomas smiles.
That's what I wanted to know. After all, we
have done for me.
Yes.
Precisely. I look past Thomas to Michelle. I wonder, for the first time, how much she knows. None of the threats have come from her. It's always been Karma that's been the hammer.
Well, that is good news indeed,
Thomas says, making no move to leave. Why are you here, Thomas?
I thought I'd come and say hello when I heard who was coming in.
I keep my face as neutral as possible. You know each other?
I've known Karma for a long time. She and my wife are good friends.
And there it is, the confirmation I didn't need that Thomas was involved. When I'd mentioned Panthera and Karma in our conversation about my expense reports, he'd feigned ignorance. I'm almost impressed by his ability to lie. I had the impression you didn't know who she was when I first mentioned Panthera to you, I say.
Did you?
Thomas says, his face innocent. My mistake. I could drop the word radius into this conversation like a bomb, but I need to save my ammunition for later. Now, if you don't mind, I have some things to discuss with Karma and Michelle.
Oh, yes.
He stands and smooths his tie.
Carry on.
He walks to the door and stops.
Ladies.
When he's gone, I turn back to Karma and Michelle. Michelle seems nervous, but Karma is calm, her hands folded on the table in front of her.
What was that all about with Thomas? I ask. Why did you tell him I'm leaving the firm?
Karma raises her left shoulder.
You said you wanted out. I assume that meant the law, too.
Unbelievable. That's not your decision to make or announce.
As you say.
Now, we'd like a full update on the Sullivan file. I pause, savoring the moment. The case is settled.
Karma's composure slips. What? How did that happen?
I let her stew while I observe Michelle. Her cheeks are flushed, but her expression is innocent. I swivel back to Karma.
Because I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to be involved in it.
Involved in what? Defeating an evil man?
Is that what you've been doing?
Of course, Michelle says softly. Mr. Sullivan is a terrible person. When I think about what he did to that girl, to Samantha and Athena, she looks genuinely upset, and perhaps she is. It doesn't matter.
This isn't about what happened at Sullivan or even what happened to his victims. It's about Nexia.
Karma pales under her makeup. Michelle looks confused.
What's Nexia?
Sullivan's other company. Right, Karma?
She stays quiet.
You didn't know, Michelle, what this is all about?
What are you talking about? She twists in her chair. Karma?
Is this a performance? She's capable of giving one, but maybe she's being genuine.
It doesn't matter. This whole case is part of a scheme to get Nexia from Sullivan.
What?
Karma wants the company. For revenge, for profit, for both. So she's been manipulating me. Manipulating all of us to do what she wants to weaken Sullivan so she can take over Nexia. But the plan isn't going to work. Sullivan's withdrawn his case. The documents are being filed as we speak.
Karma's jaw is tight.
You're letting him go?
He's stepping down from the company.
That's not enough. Not for what he's done.
He needs justice, Michelle says. He's hurt so many women.
That was never going to happen. Civil trials are about money, not justice.
That's cynical, Karma says.
More cynical than dragging three women over the coals in court, their lives picked over like the trash just so you can win a court case? Would you want that for your daughter?
I look at Michelle when I say this. Can I penetrate the fog that she lives in? Or am I the one in the fog?
They were willing to stand up, Michelle says. They were threatened and trapped.
What?
I close my eyes for a second. Do you want to tell her, Karma? Or should I?
Karma's eyes narrow.
You're making a mistake.
You made the mistake when you decided that you could manipulate me like you were manipulating the others, and that I'd just go along with it.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, well, let me lay it out for you.
Are you listening, Michelle?
5 years ago, Sullivan tried to take over Good Karma. He failed, and Karma was so angry she decided to retaliate. You knew, Karma, somehow, that he abused women. Maybe you made an educated guess because it was the height of #MeToo. Maybe you heard a rumor. Regardless, you were right. So you used your network of women to help you. You got Connie installed on the Sullivan board. You worked with her to find victims. Once you did, Connie encouraged Jennifer Naughton to bring her complaint and got Sullivan fired. When he sued, you upped the ante and decided to take Nexia away from him. Perhaps that was the plan all along. You recruited Heather, brought up Nexia's stock, and applied pressure to get Samantha and Athena to testify. Then you brought me on to manage the whole thing. Karma is perfectly still. Michelle looks like she might pass out. But you miscalculated. You went too far. When Athena resisted, you put a darker plan in motion, arranging for her to meet a man that you'd planted, and eventually manufacturing a confrontation that would leave him dead and allow you to blackmail Athena and me.
Dead? Michelle bleats. Someone's dead?
No, I say. He's not. We were only meant to think he was. Karma clenches her jaw, but she doesn't speak. It was all part of the plan, just like getting my sister-in-law to come to New York to oust Dan and me from our apartment, working with Thomas to put me in a vulnerable position with the points committee, all of it so Sullivan would lose his lawsuit and good karma could take over his company when the bad press led to his inevitable removal. I lean forward. What does Nexia have that you want so badly? Or is it only revenge? The power of it all. I don't have to answer your questions.
You're right, you don't.
But it also doesn't matter. Because you're going to let all of us, all of this, go.
What?
You're going to release us. Tell Thomas to stop his campaign against me in the partnership and stop blackmailing him for cheating on his wife. Turn over all the information you have on Samantha and Athena and Heather. Dismantle Panthera and go back to your life before any of this happened. And if you don't, then I'll do to you what you tried to do to Sullivan. I'll take your company from you. Karma brought her chin up.
And how will you do that?
Just like you were going to do to Sullivan.
You don't have the shares or the votes.
I do. Michelle put her hand on Karma's arm.
Is all of this true? Is what Nicole's saying right?
No. No, I say. What part, Karma? What did I miss? She meets my gaze.
Why don't you bring your friends in here and I'll tell you?
They're here, aren't they?
Who?
Athena, Samantha, Heather. I don't bother asking how she knows this, but they're waiting in my office. I was going to call them in once I had her agreement.
Yes.
I pick up my phone and text my assistant. I tell her to bring Julia, too. Then I sit back and watch the two women who've put me in this situation. Michelle seems dazed, almost disconnected from reality. Karma's harder to figure out. Is she plotting her next move or simply trying to absorb that she's lost? Either way, I feel nervous, the worry that I missed something ringing in my mind like a bell. We don't speak until Samantha, Heather, Athena, and Julia enter. Michelle seems stunned to see Julia, but a surprise for me comes with them. Connie. Seeing her increases my nerves and seems to reassure Karma. But our plan is solid. The lawsuit is over. All that's left to haggle over are the consequences. Everyone takes their seat, all eyes on me.
So they're here, I say to Karma. Now what?
Karma looks at Heather.
Are you going to tell her, or should I?
I turn to ice. Oh, shit. Oh, no. I've read this whole board wrong. Heather's face hardens.
You can go ahead.
Karma's lip curls in pleasure.
It's interesting, isn't it, how one person can get so much right and yet miss one key fact that changes everything?
She lets her words lie there as I look around the room at Athena, Connie, Samantha, and Heather. And now I know. Karma doesn't need to tell me. I am not one of the many pieces being moved around the board by a single player. I'm the target. The weak prey stalked by the pride. And now, They're moving in for the kill.
Chapter 36. Check. Now, October. I try to remain calm.
Heather? I say, my voice wavering. You're in on this with them?
Heather smiles with pleasure.
You thought Karma and Michelle could pull all this off on their own?
Why?
You wouldn't understand.
Heather, Athena warns. She deserves an explanation.
What's to explain? Heather says. We came up with a plan and we're executing it.
I swivel toward Athena.
You too?
I confirm. She nods, sadly.
Jack? The plan? All of it?
She nods again.
Samantha won't make eye contact, and Connie seems to be gloating. Even Julia's features are different. More knowing, less innocent.
It's all of them. They are all in on this, but me.
Jennifer Naughton, Sullivan's ouster, the plot to take over Nexia. Putting together the pride, the lawsuit strategy, recruiting me. Taking over my life, hiring Jack, faking his death. None of it was a surprise to any of them. It was only a surprise to me.
When did you start planning this?
Heather lays her hands flat on the boardroom table. I think back to the lunches we had, the pitter-patter of idle conversation when Heather dropped her sarcastic exterior and seemed to open up. But this Heather, this is a person I've never seen before. Cold, calculated, angry.
It started when I worked on the Sullivan deal when he was trying to acquire Good Karma 5 years ago.
A light bulb goes off.
Are you the reason it didn't happen?
That's right.
How did you do it?
I went to Karma. I told her what was coming in time for her to marshal her defenses and stave him off.
You put your job in jeopardy?
Well, he put my life in jeopardy, so...
Oh, so that's it. One of the things I've never been able to figure out. How did Karma and Michelle know Sullivan was a serial sexual abuser? What made them go looking in the first place?
What happened?
Heather's chin is quivering.
Same as everyone. I was working with him on the deal. We were at the office late one night, and he offered me a lift home. You've heard what happens next.
Did you go to the police?
Please, only 2% of rapes actually end up with a conviction. It's basically legal to sexually assault people in this country. I wasn't going to be a statistic.
So you decided to kill his deal? Wasn't that risky?
He'd already done the worst he could to me. I had nothing to lose.
She's pale, and I almost feel sorry for her.
No, I do feel sorry for her. But I'm also angry. Angry and disappointed in myself that I didn't see this coming, and that I don't know how to stop it.
Karma brought you in at that point? I say to Connie. You had the resources to help her.
That's right, Connie says. In contrast to Heather, she is calm and sure of herself. I worked with Karma and Heather to stop the takeover.
My brain is trying to catch up. I thought I knew Connie, Heather, and Athena. I thought I knew what we were doing. But I'd overlooked one of the fundamental lessons I learned years ago in court. If you don't have external proof, then you never know when someone's lying. Human lie detectors don't exist. We are easily taken advantage of.
And once you pulled that off, you decided to go further. You used Panthera to create a trap for Sullivan.
We'd only been tapping into part of its potential, Karma says with a measure of pride. It was time to move it to the next level.
It was supposed to be about women's empowerment, Michelle says, her voice trembling. Not revenge.
You can't separate the two, Michelle. You know that.
Michelle's hands are shaking and she balls them into fists.
But this? Everything that Nicole has been saying? I never would have agreed to this. Which is why we left you out of it, dear. I catch movement from Julia out of the side of my vision. When I turn toward her, her face is filled with contempt. I never asked for that. Michelle slumps down in her seat. I only wanted to make things better. And we have, Karma says. Don't you see? I don't see, I say. Come on, Nick, Samantha says. Sullivan is a terrible person. Think about how many women we're going to save from the same fate if he's stripped of his power. Which you could have done by going to the police or making your stories public. Taking Nexia from him doesn't accomplish that. He's free to sin again. But he knows we're on to him. The power we have. If we'd gone to the police, we would have been public too. You don't understand. This didn't happen to you. But now it is, right? You're involving me in it. Samantha smiles sadly. We needed one more. One more to finish the plan. I turn back to Heather. So you went to Karma, and she staved off the merger, and then what? You decided that wasn't enough? That's right, Heather says. He had to lose all the things he cared about. That's when you joined Panthera. Not this summer with me. Not last year. Yes. You too, Samantha? That's right, Samantha nods. I've been in it for years. Why the cover story? Why deceive me about that? We thought it would be easier to fold you in if you didn't think you were the only new person in the group. In our experience, it's harder to coalesce a pride if someone feels like an outsider, Karma says. It's all been lies. Everything, everyone. What about you, Julia? How did you get involved in this?
I've known Karma for years, and Connie too. Connie helped me get into Harvard. She's helped me in a lot of ways.
I breathe out slowly. How could I have missed this? How could I be so blind? So you decided to get revenge and you went looking for other victims? I say to Karma. Karma tilts her head to the side. Once Heather told me what happened, I knew there had to be others. His whole routine was too pat. It couldn't have been the first time he'd done it. You found Athena, like you said before, looking at personnel records?
Yes, Athena says. Not everything we told you was a lie.
Only the important parts.
Of everyone, I'm the most shocked about her. I thought we were friends, but I have no friends in this room.
The whole thing with Jack, his death staged, that wasn't the test for you, was it? It was the test for me.
You were bucking, Athena says. We needed to keep you in line.
And what about Jennifer Naughton? Did anything actually happen to her?
We didn't have to make anything up where that was concerned.
Is she in Panthera?
No. Like we told you, she wasn't at the level we recruit from. It wasn't necessary to bring her into the Pride or the wider plan. She thinks Connie found her by investigating for the board, and Connie helped her find a new job in an ally's company. She doesn't know anything more than that.
Why me, then? You already had a lawyer. Why did you need to involve me? Connie raises a shoulder. We made a mistake initially, using someone outside of Panthera. I thought about their original lawyer, the man who'd written a cover-your-ass memo advising them to settle. He was someone you didn't have leverage on, you mean? As you say. He wouldn't bring Samantha's evidence, I guess, or Athena's. That's right, Connie says. He didn't think the court would admit it. And he found it suspicious that we'd found two additional witnesses when the outside investigators Sullivan had hired after Naughton came forward found none. Why didn't they find Samantha and Athena?
That investigation was out of my hands, Connie said, and confined to Sullivan only.
But Samantha's and Athena's stories are real? I ask.
Nick, come on, Athena says. We wouldn't make something like that up.
Wouldn't you?
Athena won't look me in the eye, but Samantha is steady.
It happened to both of us, just like we told you. We just needed you to believe us. That other lawyer didn't. He was an asshole.
So you fed the witnesses to me one by one. You made Athena reluctant to testify, so I'd buy it when she finally caved. That's what Jack was for, too, yes? All part of the theater to make me swallow the coincidences.
No one says anything, and I'm not even sure I'm talking to them anymore. I sift through what I've learned, trying to make it add up.
But something isn't sitting right. Karma was shocked when I told her about the settlement with Sullivan, that her plan wasn't working, that her own company was in jeopardy again. I was in the dark, but she might be too. I'm only halfway through untangling this.
Was the settlement part of the plan all along? I ask Athena.
No, that's not what we wanted, Karma says. This must be...
I raise my hand to stop her.
Athena?
She stares back at me.
What do you think?
I turn to Julia.
You gave me the idea to try to keep the testimony confidential, and then to use that as leverage to get him to settle.
I did, Julia responds calmly.
Athena, Samantha, you wanted to use your testimony to get him to give up Nexia voluntarily. You didn't want to have to go through the trial.
That's right. Or risk the merger going wrong.
Heather nods. Mergers are unpredictable. Sullivan might have fended it off. It was better to get the settlement and convince him to go voluntarily. As an added bonus, Samantha and Athena wouldn't have to testify.
That tracks. During our strategy sessions over the weekend, Heather had been the one to suggest using the threat of the takeover to get Sullivan to capitulate.
So what now? I say, the energy draining out of me. Am I free to go?
We were hoping you'd join us, Athena says.
Join you?
When we take over Good Karma, Samantha adds, we'd like you to be general counsel.
Excuse me? Karma raps the table. What is going on? I demand answers.
It's quite simple, Connie says to Karma in a calm voice. We own or control 30% of Good Karma. You only own 25%. We'll be replacing the board and then you as the CEO.
What? How?
I've been buying up stock for years. So have Samantha, Athena, and Heather. We each have 5% as of this morning.
That's only 20%.
They have my 5% too, Julia says. Mom gave it to me when I turned 21.
Michelle's face falls. That was for your future.
Julia's features go flat.
You never cared about my future. You gave me those shares out of guilt. You abandoned me. You left me with Dad and his drugs and the girls that changed every week when you went away. You hid me from the world. You missed 10 years of my life.
Michelle reaches out to her across the table.
I explained that. I needed to work on myself to be a good mother to you.
Please, that's not how it works. You aren't a mother if you aren't there for your children. You can't walk away from your responsibilities and expect no consequences.
Is that why you're doing this? I ask Julia. To get revenge on your mom?
Julia's eyes slide in my direction.
Bad people need to be punished. I told you.
So this is justice?
You told me there wasn't any such thing, that justice doesn't happen.
That's not what I meant.
It's true, isn't it?
A counter-argument starts to form in my mind, but then I dismiss it.
This isn't justice. It's revenge.
What's the difference?
I turn away. There's no point in arguing with her. Why are you turning on Karma after working with her for so long? I ask Connie.
My question exactly, Karma says, her anger raw, but her power already diminished.
Connie makes a dismissive gesture.
We don't need her anymore.
That can't be it.
This must be about good karma. What does good karma have that Connie might want?
This is about Linnaeus, isn't it? That protein Linnaeus is working on, the one that can boost immune systems?
Did Catherine tell you about that? Connie says.
She did. And with good karma, you'd have a built-in distribution network to manufacture and sell it.
If we sell it as an herbal remedy, we don't have to go through the tedious regulatory process with the FDA.
And Nexia, their nanotech, that's a part of this too?
It's an effective delivery device.
Which you could sell to the government?
I didn't want to do that, Karma says, realization hitting her. When Connie said it was something we could do with Nexia once we took it over, I told her I didn't trust the government. They'll find a way to weaponize it like they always do. They won't help people.
And you're helping people with your bath bombs and natural remedies? Connie says scornfully. Please.
Can you use the compound to manipulate the immune system? Destroy it? I ask. Turn it into a biological weapon that's delivered by Nexia's nanotech?
Like most things, the compound can be used in many ways and for many purposes, depending on what you want to accomplish.
And by selling it to the government, you'll make a killing on it both ways, in the wellness market and as a potential weapon.
Women killing it. Way too accurate.
We all will, Heather says. Once we control good karma and Nexia, the sky's the limit.
But you've come up short. Karma says, regaining a bit of confidence. You only control 25% of good karma. I'll marshal the board and we'll defeat this evil attempt to get me out. It didn't work last time and it won't work this time.
No, Connie says. We have 30. And once we control the board, your 25% won't be relevant.
Who has the final 5?
I do, I say. I have Sullivan's proxy for his 5% of the company. I turn to Heather.
That's why you wanted me to get that. Not to negotiate our freedom.
Heather smiles, and it's scary.
Think of it, Nicole. All the anxiety, the striving, the worry, the work, it can all be resolved now. You can be general counsel for good karma. Connie's apartment will be signed over to you. He'll be set for life.
I stare at her, at all of them.
But I don't want that.
I don't think you have much choice, Nicole, Athena says gently.
Why are you going along with this, Athena? What do you get out of it?
I'm taking my power back. You think I want to stay allied to someone like Karma? Someone who'd be willing to set me up? Blackmail me for the rest of my life to get what she wants?
But you were in on it.
It's who she is, though. She did it to you, too, remember?
I switch to Samantha.
And you, Samantha?
Her face is impassioned. I tried being altruistic for years. I volunteered at women's shelters and donated money, and nothing changes. Hashtag Me Too didn't take out all the bad men. It only skimmed a few off the top. So fuck it. Fuck them. It's time to do something different and see if that works.
By getting rich?
By controlling things. If we're not in charge, then this will keep happening to us over and over.
Well said, Samantha, Athena says. Are you with us, Nicole?
My mind is racing. There has to be a way out of this, something they've forgotten or haven't thought of. And then I realize what it is, the way out.
No, I'm not.
You don't have much choice, Julia points out.
You're wrong. You've made a mistake,
All of you.
Which is?
Heather asks, sounding not worried at all.
You're not going to get Nexia.
And you're not going to get me to join you.
Chapter 37. Mate. Now, October. I'm met with a table full of incredulous faces, but I'm determined.
If you don't want to join us, fine, Heather says dismissively. But we're going to need your proxy for those shares.
She's hit on it. The leverage I have. The leverage I was using to get myself out of the trap I thought I was in can get me out of the trap I am in. And a fact they don't know about. Something I'd improvised during my meeting with Sullivan.
No, Sullivan gave that to me. I can't sign it over to you.
They look to Julia for confirmation.
She's right, Julia says. Proxies are not transferable.
That was a mistake, Connie says. Why didn't you tell us that?
Julia crosses her arms.
She was on our side. You said she was going to be on our side.
Athena speaks gently. It's fine, Julia. We miscalculated. That's not on you.
So get Sullivan to give it to one of us then, Heather says to me.
The deal is set. Sullivan is not going to agree to change any of it, and I'm not going to ask.
And I'm not going to take this lying down, Karma says, standing up. Come on, Michelle, let's go.
Michelle looks up at her. I watch 20 years of belief cross her face. 20 years of trust that's been eroded. Michelle rises slowly, her face trained on Julia.
I'm sorry, Julia. I love you.
Julia scoffs.
You love yourself. That's what this whole thing has always been about.
Michelle smiles at her sadly, but follows Karma out, the door to the conference room clanging shut with a bang.
We're going to need to contain them, Athena says to Connie. There are still things they can do to stave us off.
Connie raises her phone to her ear.
I'll take care of it.
She stands and leaves, already speaking to whoever her fixer is, I assume.
Now, Athena says, addressing me, we need to find a way to get Sullivan to change the proxy.
He'll never agree. All the paperwork is already done. You signed your NDA and so did Samantha. The court paperwork has been filed. The case is settled. I don't have any leverage anymore.
I could come out with my story, Heather says. That's leverage.
The day after a court case settled, you'd have no credibility. You'd look like you were trying to jump on the bandwagon and get money. Some people would believe me. Not enough to get Sullivan to act the way you want him to. Besides, if the story is public, he has no incentive to do anything you want him to.
There has to be a way, Heather says, more to herself than to me.
I'm not going to help you, and neither is Nexia.
What does that mean?
Nexia knows it's a target for a takeover.
How?
I told Sullivan in the negotiations. Athena waves her hand dismissively.
That doesn't matter. He's out. They won't have had time to do anything.
Right, I say. But the new president also knows. She was installed yesterday and immediately advised the board of Good Karma's plan.
She?
Athena asks as Connie comes back into the room.
Catherine Raleigh.
Your sister-in-law? Connie says. What's she got to do with this?
You got her a job at Linnaeus, remember? You sent your executive VP in to woo her and bring her to New York. You even planted the idea for her to take Penny's apartment when she died.
What's she got to do with any of this? Heather asks.
When Sullivan stepped down, someone had to replace him as president. I suggested Catherine.
Suggested?
Insisted.
I thought it would help to have a friend inside Nexia, in case Karma tried to go ahead with the takeover anyway. Catherine's already started working to stop it.
We didn't tell you to do that, Heather says through gritted teeth.
Someone had to take over. I thought we were trying to prevent good karma from getting Nexia. I put measures in place to help achieve that. Connie appraises me for a second. We'll get you disbarred.
For what?
You blackmailed Sullivan into settling his case.
He'll never file a complaint. That would expose him. And I'm the one who's been blackmailed and manipulated. By you.
You don't have any proof of that. It would be your word against ours.
I do. I have Jack.
This lands like the grenade I was hoping for. I'd kept this detail to myself, too. Only Dan and Catherine know that we found him and have his affidavit. I wasn't sure why I kept it from them, other than my litigator's instinct never to reveal all my cards at once.
What do you mean? Athena asks, her voice shaking.
You left a loose end. He was supposed to leave town, only he didn't. We have an affidavit from him that sets out the whole plan.
He never spoke to any of us, Heather says, only to Gary.
Yes, but with all the evidence I have, the texts and the Panthera thread, my testimony and Catherine's, I could easily go to the police or the press.
We are going to go to jail? Samantha says, her lip quivering.
Hush, Samantha. No one's going to jail. Right, Nicole?
Connie and I share a long stare.
Not if you do what I want.
So it's your turn to blackmail now?
If that's what you want to call it.
What do you want?
Undo what you did to my life. Put me back where I belong. Where I was before all of this. Let me go and walk away from Nexia and you can go free. All of you.
What about good karma? Heather asks.
I don't care what you do with it. Take it over, bankrupt them, whatever you want. But Panthera, Karma and Michelle still control it.
I lean back in my chair. Do I care if Panthera continues? Probably not the best idea to have a secretive organization out there that wants revenge on me.
You weren't going to leave it with them, were you?
No, Connie says.
How are you going to take it over?
I have the list. I set up the security infrastructure they use to monitor everyone.
The pins, I say. The Panthera pins. That's how you do it, right?
They are a tracker and a microphone, yes.
You and Samantha weren't wearing yours the day you came to my office the first time. I wondered about that. You didn't want Karma listening in?
That's right.
There are too many things I'd overlooked with these women. I'm going to spend years unpacking why that was.
And what about Michelle? I say. Is she as innocent as she pretends to be?
She goes along with whatever Karma wants. Karma doesn't fill her in on the more sordid details.
They shouldn't be left in control of the organization, but you shouldn't have it either.
What are you saying? Athena says.
Give me the list.
No, Connie says. Turn it over to me or I'll go to the police. And just in case, I'm going to leave a copy of the evidence I have with a neutral party with instructions to release it if anything happens to me, or Dan, or Catherine, or Jack. You do what I say, and I'll let you be.
How dramatic, Athena says.
Really, Athena?
She puts her hands up.
Fine, fine.
She looks at Connie, then Samantha, then Heather. One by one, they nod in agreement.
You have our word.
Is that enough? Their word is useless.
But I have my evidence. Releasing it might destroy me, but it will certainly destroy them. Mutually assured destruction.
the basis of more than one detente.
And you have mine.
Athena stands and walks toward me. I rise to meet her. She's holding out her hand.
I take it.
You were a worthy opponent.
Another beat of disappointment.
This has been a game to her. To them. Is it over, or are they still playing and I've missed some move? Is this what defeat or victory looks like?
Too early to say.
As fate would have it, I respond.
As fate would have it, they echo.
When the day is over, I walk home, my coat tucked tight against my body. It's dark, and the air is cold and swirling. Cars honk and yellow taxis flash by, their meters reflecting off the glass buildings. I'm exhausted, but as I put distance between myself and the office, between myself and them, I start to feel lighter. Like when I took my pack off after that day of hiking at the ranch. I am light on my toes, almost floating along these streets, the sounds of the city, the music that guides me. I don't know what happens next. Will I be able to go back to my life without any consequences? That's unlikely, and I'm not even sure it's what I want. I had what I thought I wanted before any of this happened, what I'd worked for, but I wasn't happy. I don't know if I can go back to the whims of the points committee and the constant stress of having to do more, more, more. At least now I have choices. Dan is waiting for me at Penny's. Catherine will find her own space, and we'll have the apartment we love so much and our memories of Penny. Catherine is a friend now, and maybe together we can change things. We prevailed. Come what may, Dan and I are strong enough to weather this life. I did something good today, something to build on, something to hold close, like this coat. This was the test, my test. Hopefully, I passed with flying colors. Dear Blank, have you ever wondered why your career hasn't progressed as far as it should? Why others have continued to climb the corporate ladder while you've been stuck in place? We've been there. Despite years of hard work and all the talent in the world, our careers were stalled too. Why? Because the boys' club still exists. No one wants to talk about it, but it's true. Something had to be done about it, and that's how Panthera Leo was born. Women helping women succeed the way men have for centuries. Now we're a network of CEOs, managing partners, executives, and money managers. Every successful woman you know is probably one of us. And that's why we're writing to you. You've been recommended to us, and we'd be delighted if you'd become a member. All it takes is a few minutes of your time to complete our application, which can be found at www.pantheraleo.com. A few minutes, and everything you always wanted could be yours. Our next experience is happening soon. Please join us. Best, Nicole and Catherine.
Please Join Us, a novel, was written by Catherine McKenzie and read by Joy Osmansky. Editing and post-production by Matt Kartsonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Please Join Us is available in print from Atria Books. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, 6 Weeks to Live, a novel, written by Catherine McKenzie and read by Alex Allwine, Eileen Stevens, Julia Whalen, and Caitlin Davies.